As we come into Advent, one of the things we find is when we do this together, we study the Word together, we fellowship together, we have an opportunity to start an Advent series on Zoom tomorrow night with Casey. You have the next slide up? If you haven't registered yet, please do so. You can at seedbed.com/God is here. Let's register and let's do this together. I'll be there tomorrow at 7:30 tomorrow night with the group. I would love to participate in this with as many of you as possible. The books that's going through it, you know, we have a copy. You know, Casey was gracious enough to send me the, you got yours, praise God. If you don't have it, we can get you copies, but you can order online. It's probably too late to get it now, but I have copies we can give to you. And I hope to, we can do this together, especially this time like now, when so many things are just going chaos around us. Let's celebrate this time together. And I know, I believe Sherry will be doing something in the morning too with the emails you get each morning. Wake up with God. Am I getting it right? Yeah, so she will also be doing something alongside with every day for Advent. The key here, my brothers and sisters, that we do this together, not just coming on Sunday. Too much is at stake, yes? So with that said, I invite us now to participate collectively. You will have a part to in this Advent ceremony, and I think Shelley and Phyllis will lead us into this time of hope and the lighting of our candles.
If ever there was a time,
a year that we needed Advent, this is the year.
Yes.
We hardly know how to describe the year we have lived through. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in this year of 2020. Yeah. All we know is that nothing seems right. Mm. Nothing seems like it used to be. Nothing. We need Advent.
The prophet Isaiah cried out for us, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, to make your name known, so that nations might tremble at your presence. So tear through the mess, O Lord, and make your home in our lives again. We long to be your people, a people of hope."
We light this first candle as a sign of our hope. Hope that you can meet us even in the mess of the world. Hope that you still see us, though we feel we are lost in the rubble. Let this light be the guide that brings us to Emmanuel once more.
to misery.
Yes.
Lord, we give you all the praise today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning.
Yes, Lord.
One with God, the Lord Most High. You hid in glory in creation. Now revealed in you are Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name. Jesus. Yes.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Lord God.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Sit down, good people. Just sit down. I just want you to just say Jesus. 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 Speak the name out loud, my brothers and sisters, because there is power in his name. It's the beautiful name, and we come here to adore him. Yes? 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 Yes, Jesus, don't be afraid to call his name on high. Don't be afraid to call out thy name, the Lord is saying to us this day. Because there is power in a beautiful name. Heaven couldn't hold him. He wants to be down here with us. To mess in our mess. In our mess to fix things right, get things right again. They went to a walk-in here this morning. The guys in the back said, everything's not going all right, but don't worry about it. In my spirit, I said, I'm not worrying about it. And I do the next thing we do. I call these two saints. I said, come on, let's go. Sit in that office, and we sat and prayed. We called down on that name, didn't we? We called down on that name. To fix this thing, because all we want to do is adore you, Lord. We adore you. Hallelujah. But we have some more prayers to do, don't we? I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer for the pastor of the church that I was before, one of the churches that I was before I got here. Pastor Tanner, I got a text this morning from someone I haven't heard from in like almost this time I left there, asking for prayers for him and his family. His one young wife, he's 9 months pregnant, and in this Thanksgiving where they were, someone ended up being tested positive for COVID. So please help me. It's Pastor Tanner from Hillsborough United Methodist Church and his family. This time we ask for prayers for Chrissy, Glenn's wife, whose brother passed away suddenly this week. So keep that family in your prayers. We ask you, on top of that, to keep in the space of, I don't know what happened in that space, but I don't think it had anything to do with COVID. I don't know, but God knows what it is. But I'm just drawn right now to just be praying for all those people in the hospitals. Pray for all the doctors, the nurses, all the personnel in the hospitals who are facing, they're standing on the front line for us. They're at risk every day trying to do right, trying to be with our loved ones, ones who are not separated from their family, who is going through this thing all alone. That's where my heart is this morning, in that space. We have a responsibility. So I am thanking you for your faithfulness, for constantly wearing a mask. I'm away from you right now, but my mask just dropped. But so we can be here safely. This is a big deal, my friends. People are dying. People are dying, and we have this power available to us to come together. This is why I think coming together in mornings where we read together the same words with Sherry Senza, or at night, one day of night, and light the candle together, just remembering what Jesus Christ, God chose to send his son. This is what Glenn would call the sermon before the sermon. God chose to send his son for us. For us. Not birth, but his begotten son for us. So let us pray to the son to whom God sent for us. For a time just like this, for these souls who need us. to do this for them this morning. The names that were called, the ones that were uncalled, the ones that are in our hearts. I know many of us have somebody has touched by this disease. But the Lord did say, when my people will humble themselves and call unto him, I will heal the land. God, your word stands true then and now. So we thank you, Holy Father, for your faithfulness as your faithful people come together this day with our voices, with our minds, with our soul to say your beautiful name, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. Oh, we love you so much. We adore you, Father God. We're giving you praise, dear Lord God, because when we lift up our praise, the enemy has no room in our lives, dear Father. We don't have to pay him attention. We don't have to say, we just have to lift up our praise. So, Father God, hear our praise this morning. Hear our praise this morning. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. We come to you with our everything, dear God. With our everything to heal this land. Heal the individuals. Put away this thing that is reigning against us that is not of you, dear Lord Jesus. God, I ask you to be with those people who are taking care. We're asking to be with those who have lost their loved ones. Dear God, may they find the peace that surpasses all of our understanding, the ones we know and the ones we do not know. But what we do know, Lord Jesus, is that you are with them. You are in the midst of them. You came to die for us so we may have life, life eternity. That's the hope. We celebrate this day, the hope to see you in your glory. Because you did come down, Father. You came off the cross for us. You came out of the grave for us. And as the song says, how do I know my Lord is alive? Because he spoke to me this morning. So Heavenly Father, who speaks to us night and day, you taught your disciples how to pray, and we now take up the banner, dear Lord, and pray as you have taught us. So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Hear now the invitation to our offering. Come with gratitude and hope to the table of the Lord. Bring the works of your hands and the gifts of your lives as an offering of praise. Please remember, you can still go to our website, wesleymemumc.com, and access our online giving page, or you can continue to bring your tithes here to the church and place them in the plates. You may send them to the office through the mail. We appreciate and thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. To God be all glory. Let's stand and sing the doxology.
As we will be doing this a cappella today. Start us off.
Praise
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now let us stay standing and join in Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
shine forth in the earth, so that all may hear your teaching and all may do your will through Jesus Christ our hope. And everyone said, Amen. Please be seated.
Press. Can you help me put this up?
We can be in an attitude of prayer. O God of our people and Lord of every nation, let your word ring out from the mountains and your spirit shine forth in the earth, so that all may hear your teaching and all may do your will through Jesus Christ our hope. Amen.
Amen. That's the welcome I felt walking in here. With all the decorations up, the trees up, and like, okay, I feel at home. Welcome home, indeed. But lately I've been thinking about home. Where is home for me? Is home Jamaica? Is it New York, Staten Island? Is it Florida, Tampa, or even Fort Myers? These days, Jamaica, the place of my birth, is feeling less and less like home for me because the people who have made it home no longer there. Tampa is feeling less and less like home for me because it's now surpassing the time I spent in New York, which was like home for me. But as I get older, the time I spent in New York gets less and less as compared to what I'm doing now in Florida. So I'm still thinking about where is home for me. But one thing I do recognize is that whether it's I'm in Jamaica, whether I'm in Tampa, whether I'm in Fort Myers, wherever, it has been a transition time. Home is where my family is, but then half is not here and half is in Tampa. What I do come to recognize is that we are a transient society. Roots are short, transplant seems to be the norm, but everyone starts somewhere. That is why theologian Mircea Eliade suggested that our first home is what gives us our first point of view, the measure from which everything else in the world will be compared to. The true foundation of our being. She likens this first home to that tiny bit of grit that finds its way into an oyster, and from the small beginning, a pearl is formed within the shells of the oyster. Without that bit of grit, there will never be a pearl. Home, Especially this time of year, we want to sing, I'll be home for Christmas. If only in my dreams, and I will go over the river through the woods just to be at grandma's house. Yet home is a place where we feel belong, a place where we feel that all is going to be okay, even when things around us don't seem that okay. Home is where we are whole, at peace, content. And as the Christmas song says, our soul feels its worth. So during this season, this series of messages we will begin today, my prayer is that we find that Jesus meets us in our home and in our searching for this home, this place of peace and content. Today I pray that you and I will hear a whisper of our Savior saying, just as Tina said, welcome home. This Christmas, I believe we need to be with Jesus like perhaps no other before, right? Do you agree with me? We need to remember why he came like no other before. This Christmas, my hope is that we get to visit people we love, but also recognize our deepest longings for a relationship with Jesus. I hope we all get all the gifts that we want, but beneath the desire of all this stuff, I hope we remember what Jesus gave us. I hope we all get to eat some good food, but in the midst of that, I remember that our hunger is for Jesus. This beautiful name we call on so often. Friends, hope is not a place. It's not a memory. It's not a destination. Listen to how Henry Nouwen describes home this way. He says, home is the center of my being, where I can hear the voice that says, you are my beloved, on you my favor rest. The same voice that speaks to all the children of God and sets them free to live in the midst of dark world while remaining in the light. I've heard that voice. It has spoken to me in the past and continues to speak to me now. It is the never interrupted voice of love speaking from eternity and giving life and love wherever it is heard. When I hear that voice, I know that I am home with God and I have nothing to fear. So where is home? Our home is with God. See, God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to make it possible for us to be in a relationship with God. That's the whole reason of Christmas, my friend, that relationship. So when Jesus came to earth, he had friends like you and I, and one of those friends was John, who witnessed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John wants to tell us the story of Jesus on earth. Can you imagine the challenge it is to describe Jesus? He is God moving into our neighborhoods. That can't be easy to do, because there are 184 verses in the birth narrative in the New Testament. These 184 verses presuppose repeated words of 170 verses from 18 books of the Old Testament. So it's not just coming now, it's picking up from what he heard as a, you know, John, who's a follower of Jesus Christ, who's also a Jew, know the Old Testament and picking up from this. All of these gospel writers, it's the one story, I keep telling you all that, it's one story keep coming forth. John took a different approach though. John's birth narrative is one that no one reads at Christmas. Have you ever heard of a Christmas story? A Christmas Eve, we're reading John's gospel telling the birth of Jesus? He tells it in such a way that's as storyless as possible. I like what Lentsweet describes in John's account of how God's made his longest word short. It has no access, or straw, or shepherds, only philosophy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John the philosopher. And then he goes on and describes with lots of images about life and the limitless language. He can't do it enough. But one thing remains sure, that this God who created the cosmos actually came to earth in the form of this helpless infant named Jesus. If you never understood anything about Christmas, the reason for Christmas, let that sink in your soul for a little bit. This helpless child, the God of the universe, came in this form of this little child to be with us, to hang out in our neighborhoods. If you have your Bible with us on your devices or wherever, but let's turn to John 1, verses 10 to 14, where John describes who Jesus is, his reception, and what happens when we find home in him. He came into the very world he created. He came where? Into the very world he created. But the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people. To who? Come on, people, help me. I ain't gone that long. Came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with the physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, Son, and the one and only Son. You might be out there searching for home with Jesus, but you're not the only one searching. Because by the prevenient grace of God, one of the first things the scripture is telling us this morning, that while we're searching for his home, Jesus actually comes searching for us. God in the flesh will now meet his people the way you and I meet a friend. Eugene Peterson, in his message paraphrase, expresses John's word this way: the Word become flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generously inside and out, true from start to finish. Wow. Jesus moved into our neighborhoods. Our neighborhood filled with potential, but has been filled with lots of problems. Our neighborhood that struggles to live with one another, to love one another. Our neighborhood with everyday struggles that making ends meet, raising our kids, balancing work and home responsibilities, dealing with friends and enemies and all the rest. Our neighborhood where behind closed doors people are trying to manage their sins and their secrets, their fears and their anxiety, and perhaps a divorce or a pain or grief or loneliness. That's the neighborhood Jesus chose to move in. It's not some Sesame Street neighborhood or some Mr. Rogers neighborhood. It's a real one, like you and I neighborhood, the ones you and I live in. That's how real this is. So this leads us now to the sermon sentence, you might call it, or the nugget of this message I'm going to try and unpack by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on to me now, Lord. And I pray that you will memorize this message. Jesus comes my way so that I know his way. Can you repeat that with me? Jesus. You better believe it. But let's break this down a little bit in two parts, will you? You bear with me a little bit more? You have no choice. You're going to bear with me. Jesus comes my way. We've seen the first two sentences that were just read that Jesus makes the first move. He comes to the very world he created. And he comes to his own people. For centuries, God has told prophets, and especially Jewish people, to tell the Jewish people that a Savior is coming, a Messiah is coming. But when he arrives, they reacted in one of three ways. First, some people didn't recognize him. Some, his very own people, flat out rejected him. The others receive him. So my friends, hear this. Here's the truth. When Jesus comes our way, we have one of these three choices to make. Some of us may not recognize Jesus' presence without, we just miss it. Believe me when I say this. Jesus is present in the mundane parts of our lives. He's right there in our details. In my own life, there were times when I did not recognize Jesus. I got so busy with things around me and wrapped up with that thing, I might even recognize he's working in that thing that I'm wrapped up with. Can I get an amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You better wake up. There are times, my friends, we miss this reality of Jesus in our lives. And it's okay, because this is why I like this story about the police officer who pulled this driver aside and asked him for his registration and license. What's wrong, officer, the driver asked. I didn't go through any red lights, and I certainly wasn't speeding. No, you weren't, said the officer. But I saw you waving your fist as you swerve around the lady driving in the left lane. And I further observed that your face was flushed and angry as you shouted to the driver in the SUV who cut you off. And you pounded on your steering wheel. And when the traffic comes to a stop near the bridge, is that a crime, officer? No. But when I saw that Jesus loves me, and so do I, bumper on your car, I figured the car was stolen. My friends, everyday moments like traffic, we can fail to recognize Jesus' presence with us always, even on the Edison Bridge. John tells us there was a second response to Jesus' arrival. That is, we can reject him. This is certainly a case where it was happening in the times when John was writing this biography of Jesus. Many people, including the disciples, his own people, people who were following him at some point, rejected him as the Messiah. They didn't approve of what he was teaching. They watched his miracles and even saw him raised from the dead and said no to the life he offered them. They expected Jesus to come as this conqueror to save them, and a stallion, let's say, to save them from the Roman regime. But that wasn't, but they went ahead and killed him. How can he have been the Messiah? I told you he wasn't the Messiah. But I want you to enjoy God's blessing. We first, if we allow Jesus to be the king of our life, we must lay down our expectation just as those people do and follow Jesus in a different way. Because I want to appear strong, but Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. I want a life free from pain and trouble, but Jesus said, in the world there will be trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. I want want a life where it can get evil. But Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I want to outdo the other person. I want to be better than they are, the next guy. But Jesus said, be ye perfect. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to turn away from my emotion. But Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There are a lot of people out there I know are struggling to find the way of Jesus, to follow this way that God offered us through his son. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when they have heard the word and still turn away from Jesus and not living the life that God called them for them. But I do understand. Because later in the gospel, John wrote, and I always thought it was interesting, I said the word, that in John 6:6, chapter 6, verse 66, we heard that many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. But when the 12 disciples, the chapter went on to say, Jesus asked them, do you want to leave too? And Peter, good old Peter, the spokesman, he says, I've come to believe in my life. These words, I think, I come to believe them. Peter just turned back and said, and I'm paraphrasing, where would we go? When Jesus asked them, do you want to leave too? They asked, where would we go? There's no one else like you. We have seen you heal people. We have watched you love even a Samaritan. Where would we go? We've seen you fed 5,000 with nothing. I've heard you teach. You alone have the words to eternal life. Where would we go? You can't possibly think that we never want to be with you and turn our backs and go back fishing. Remember those words. We can get to the end of John. But Peter gives us the words that leads us to the third response when Jesus says he's coming our way for you and I. Remember, some didn't recognize him, some rejected him, and others received him. New possibilities emerge into this discovery, my friends. So let's just look a little bit on the second half of the sermon sentence. Jesus comes my way so I can know his way. This is where John started to cram up a lot of blessings in this description about what happens to people who receive Jesus by believing and accepting him. The word says, let's look at verse 12 again. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not a physical birth and resulting from human pain and passion, but a birth that comes from God. So the word became human and made his home among them. He was full of unfailing and faithfulness, and we all get to see his glory. You know, there are some words in that scripture that just stands out, that piece, believe. The first word, believe, which means to be persuaded and be confident and trusting. Then we have the word accept. This is not some passive word like the DoorDash or accept the Amazon delivery that waits at your door. The word is it's not inactive. It means to take hold of. It's like the beloved one at the door we embrace and invites in. So when Jesus comes to us and persuade us and to trust in him, to take hold of what he offers, he gives us a new birth in Jesus Christ. If we read through the book of John Gospel, he comes off with a lot of things about believe. Later on, we hear Jesus talking about believe. And we pray, God, increase our belief. That when we believe, it starts with our belief in Jesus Christ, that the God become flesh is among us. Then we accept, we take hold of what he offers us. Amen? We take hold of what he offers us. And as we take hold of what he offers us, this life eternal, he will accept it as children of God. Rebirth. The birth that only God can do in us. But there's another word in this thing. As a matter of fact, a lot of a lot of commentators and scholars came back and said that this part of this last piece of the gospel is basically why John wrote this thing. As a matter of fact, I've shared it with Phyllis yesterday, my devotion from Seabed, from whom we're going to study this thing tomorrow, made this point clear. The author from the Seabed devotion basically says, if you ask me to land on one verse in the whole gospel, indeed the whole Bible, that held the most important thing, I think he can do it. And you know which verse, which sentence he said? 14. And the word become flesh and dwell among us. And we have beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The other word I want to bring out to you, and that is the word dwell. Most of the other, some of it can, translation will say home, like it's not NLT version, but most of the other version use the word dwell. But when you think of the word dwell and what it means in the Greek, it means tabernacle. So you think about it, God came down from heaven and tabernacled among us. That brings you back. You can't help but go back to that Old Testament with those 184 verses that talked about it, this tabernacle. You have to go back and think about what it meant. What was the tabernacle? Where did God show and come to his people? In the tabernacle. God comes down, be with his people in the tabernacle, the meeting, the tents of meeting. Moses always goes to the temple, made the tent for us to meet with God, the very presence of God upon us. That is the presence of God that comes to hang out in our neighborhood through his son, Jesus Christ. And he never stopped there. He goes and says, okay, fine, I come and you reject me, and stuff, but it's all right because my Holy Spirit is coming. He talks about the truth. Grace and truth. He ends it so we can experience this grace and truth when we see the glory of God. This glory of God, the Shekinah comes down and be with us in our temple. And now the temple that was the tent now becomes the temple of God. God becomes the temple through Jesus Christ and now through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now tell me if that's not love. Tell me if that's not the meaning of Christmas. So all we have to say is, welcome home. Welcome home, Jesus. Because you have come to show us the way. The way. By dwelling in us. We now become the tabernacle. The body for Jesus Christ. I hope each and every one of you will receive that gift. I hope every one of you will not take that gift lightly. Because this is the Jesus face. It's the human face of God who came and break into our world, into our neighborhood. So again, Jesus is the way. Come to show us the way. Yes? So to God be the glory. I think the story continues next week. Let us praise him some more. Hallelujah.